it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Hey there, patrons.
How you doing?
It's been a while, but I finally got him back. Andrew Claudio, I mean, it's laziness is what it is. It's not like you've been doing anything. So.
Yep, totally slacking. I'm Joel Embiid missing shoot around and practice. I actually slept most of yesterday with a migraine. So I empathize with Joel Embiid's current status that he missed a shootout with a shoot around this morning with a migraine. But
so let's start there. So
happy to be back.
Came down. What's that? You're
happy to be back. Yes.
I'm sure everybody's happy too, because first of all, my voice is annoying. And second of all, it's just better to have two people talking than one.
John, it depends who you ask about whether they're happy to have me back or not.
Who wouldn't be happy to have you back? Anybody, listen.
You do not need the comment, sir. I do.
That's the comment.
I appreciate it. Let's do it.
Okay. So let's start with the Embiid thing. We'll do a little Knicks talk here at the start. So he has a migraine, apparently missed shoot around. First and foremost, do you think this is gamesmanship?
It could be. He's been questionable for every game, so I don't know what this is adding on. The Knicks have been prepared to play
but this
against
is different.
Embiid every game.
No, I'm put aside prepared to play. I'm just talking about the fact that this is different. The Knicks will prepare to play him, of course, because they're the Knicks and they're gonna, Tom Thibodeau will have them prepared to play prime Michael Jordan. I'm talking about specifically the fact that do you think this is gamesmanship? That's the question.
Could
from
be.
Philly.
Could be. I think it's a very desperate move, which they're desperate, so it makes sense if it's solely a gamesmanship play.
I don't think it is. I'll just say that. I don't think it's gamesmanship. I think it is very... I think they would... you would not... Because he missed shoot around. That's the thing. That is a tangible thing to miss shoot around. Now, is shoot around the biggest deal in the world? Well, I mean, if you ask Tom Thibodeau, I'm sure it is. But if you ask a normal coach, they might not feel quite the same way. I don't even know what to think. I don't know. I mean, a migraine, and here's the other thing. I haven't spent a whole lot of time researching Bell's palsy since this series started, or since the news came out that he has it, which had been speculated about for a while. Is that a byproduct of Bell's palsy, to the best of your knowledge? Because I don't know.
I also have not spent any time researching Bell's palsy. Yeah.
Hold on.
We're gonna do the WebMD search now. Look, I'll just be completely honest with everybody. I mentioned at the top, I spent most of Monday battling a migraine, producing Cats and Shoot.
Did you miss shoot around?
Yeah, I quite literally closed all the lights, turned off all the lights, and I'm actually have them right here. I had these Oakleys on while I was editing Fred's show Monday morning. So I know he's dealing with Bell's palsy and a bad knee and a bad this and now a migraine. So as we've dedicated this entire series to slandering the man's name, I actually have an empathy for him, his body really failing with him,
Listen, these are two different conversations. And by the way, thank you to a bunch of people reached out, I think to me, but thanking you as well for our words at the pod that we did impromptu together about putting that all into perspective. So thank you to anybody who did that. But these are two different baskets. This is not a Venn diagram. There's one basket over here and there's the other basket over there. Our issues with Embiid have to do with what he does on the court. That is just, there's no room for in sports, let alone the playoffs or any of that. The stuff, I mean, I have sympathy for him that he's going through this. I've called him in this series. I've said he's a warrior for being out there. He absolutely is a warrior for being out there. Doesn't excuse what else he's done, but he's a warrior for being out there.
Do you have the WebMD? Is migraines a side effect of Bell's palsy?
So it's apparently the other way around. Migraines can contribute to Bell's palsy, not the other way around. So that's worth, I don't know. So it's not like they don't have anything to do with one another, but yeah.
What do you make of Bond real quick? Bontemps is the one that sent the report out, or was the first report on it. Steph Bondi is also saying Kelly Oubre has an illness this morning.
I mean,
is that also gamesmanship?
No.
Okay.
No, I don't think so. No, I don't think that would be gamesmanship. I mean, look, you never know. But no, I don't. I think that's probably pretty legit. Yeah.
Both miss shoot around, according to him.
I mean, I don't want to get ahead of ourselves with Embiid. I'm leery of even bringing up the topic that I was gonna bring up, but Embiid's 30, right? Or he's about he just turned 30. I think
It's one or the other. Yeah,
he either just I always get him or I always get confused between him and Giannis. One of them is 29, the other one's 30. I'm pretty sure Embiid's
30. He's 30 years old in March.
30 years old. Okay. This is, and I know he missed his first 2 years, so that should be factored in. At the same time, he only went to college for 1 year. To be 30 years old and to be an MVP winner and still not make it past the second round, I mean, my research on this goes back as far as, the beginning of the 90s. And there's just one other guy. I'm double checking right now. There's only been one other. Because Barkley made it early on in his career. So since, I mean, actually, you have Jesus Christ. You have to go back to it. I don't have time to check the 70s. At the very least, in the last 45 years in NBA basketball, every person who has won an MVP, either before they won the MVP or after they won the MVP, made it to at least the conference finals by the age of 30. The one guy who is that should get an asterisk to that is Steve Nash, because Steve Nash made it to the Western Conference Finals when he was a 28-year-old, but that was with the Dallas Mavericks, and he was the number two on his team to Dirk Nowitzki. When he made it to the Western Conference Finals for the first time with Phoenix, he was 30 years old. So he's like the one asterisk, but like you could go back and then just like go literally find anyone, like all of these guys, you know, and if you want to put an asterisk on Harden, even like Harden, but then again, Harden, he was the sixth man when OKC made it to the NBA Finals. But then what am I even saying? Because he made it back to, I'm looking at it right now. Yeah. Western Conference Finals. He was 25. So yeah, forget about it. Like, this is, and it ties in with the theme that I want to start the show with today. This is kind of unprecedented for a player with this stature to have never gotten past the second round of the playoffs. If he doesn't get there, it's three games to go. Potentially might be just one game to go. I hope there's only one game to go, but I don't know what it's carving out an interesting little career for himself. I'll say that.
I may have missed what the specific data point was. You said conference finals or finals, right?
Yeah, conference finals or finals.
Okay, so Derrick Rose doesn't count then.
Derrick Rose made it to the conference finals.
Right. I'm saying like he isn't. I thought it was to the finals. Yeah.
No. Conference finals or finals.
Look, this is why the curiosity last year with him winning it was like, all right, now you have to go experience some playoff success. And as while I thought they were going to beat the Celtics last year, you know, we're now going to enter into his 30s with this MVP on. And look, depends who you ask on whether he was deserving or not, but he has a chance, as you just mentioned, to be arguably the least accomplished MVP when it comes to playoff success.
In terms of playoff success, the least accomplished in terms of playoff success, that has to go to Derrick Rose. With all due respect to Derrick Rose, we love Derrick Rose here, but like,
he just said, he went to a conference final.
He went to one conference finals and was a part of a significant part of another team, another Bulls team that went to the second round. I'm trying to think, was he a big part of a third Bulls team that made it to the second round? Because he was injured for one of the runs completely. So no. I think, it was just the two runs. The last guy, and I just realized who it was, and it's an obvious answer, actually. It's Bob McAdoo, who is thought of along, again, it's sad to say, but thought of along with Rose as like the bottom tier of MVP winners. Yeah, I mean, he made it to the Western Conference Finals again at the age of 30, but he was a sixth man coming off the bench for the Lakers. So, and he actually won the championship that year with LA. So, but like, it's not like Embiid hasn't done stuff in the playoffs. He's done stuff in the playoffs. It just hasn't resulted in anything past the second round. Thus far. Look, I don't, this is why I was like leery to bring this up. Game five's tonight, you know, it's like anything can happen.
What's your mood right now for game five tonight?
I mean, I'm feeling better now that I know the dude had a headache or some kind.
It's a migraine, yes.
Oh, Jake Fisher. Joel Embiid said Thursday night after game three versus New York that migraines were one of the first symptoms of his Bell's palsy.
Okay.
Anyway. No, I mean, look, I'm excited for the game. I'm more excited for the game, the nervous for the game, even though logic would say it should be the other way around because despite the fact that they're up 3-1, like, you lose game five, you know, and then you got to go back into Philly. Look, I know there's been a lot of Knicks fans in Philly, and that has been a big part of the story of this series, but like, it's, you know, it's tough to win on the road. So you want to take care of business tonight. You know, you don't want to be in a game seven scenario. Like, it's just, you know, and then there's another part of me that can't escape the factoid that I found out or that I discovered yesterday morning, which is that, so you probably know, it's 95 point whatever percent of teams that go up 3-1 win the series. So we've been 13 teams that have ever come back. Do you know how many of those teams had the teams that did not take care of business after being up 3-1? Do you know how many of them had home court advantage?
I believe it's just the Warriors.
The Warriors are one. There is,
they blew a 3-1 lead.
There's one or two other ones, and I just kind of gave away a hint.
Well, so it's the two in the bubble.
So that's the or the other one. The Nuggets technically.
Oh, there's one in the bubble. Okay, I see what you're saying.
Because the Clippers technically had home court advantage, but it, you know, was in the bubble. You're missing a big one. And it's like, so
came back from 3-1 and didn't have home court
advantage. It was an NBA champion. I'd give you one more hint, but
why am I blanking? Hold on. We did this
back to back, second of a back to back. One of the most improbable NBA champions.
Oh, the Rockets, and they came back on the Suns. That's right, 95. Yeah,
Suns
they
won. Had home court in that
5-6 and 7. You want to know why I'm having the strongest feeling of deja vu, John, which is informing my feeling on today?
Why?
We did this last year. We did this last year when the Knicks were up 3-1 with the Cavs. And
yeah, I know.
We went through the teams that had home court, and we went through the percentages.
You know what the difference is, though?
What?
For this, the difference is that there have been periods of time in every one of these four games where the Sixers would have a stretch. Again, it would be a stretch, maybe a couple stretches in the game, but they would have at least one stretch, often multiple stretches, where it's like, oh my God, this team is this team is an absolute nightmare. How the hell are we going to stop this team? Now, again, it's stretch or it's a couple stretches. It's not the whole game. And most importantly, it's not the end of the game. Look, they've had a double-digit lead in every game of the series. To sit here and be like, oh, we're not worried, you know, there's nothing to worry about. When the team you're playing has a double-digit lead in every single game of the series, that has to at least factor in.
Look, they've looked great at stretches. Some might even have called the series over during one of those stretches. I would just like to remind everybody that, like, this is how we feel. And maybe we're more objective because we're coming from the Knicks perspective. I dare you to find someone in Philly that's like, oh, the Sixers are going to win three straight and come back from a 3-1 deficit. This resume that we just talked about with Joel Embiid in this tenure in Sixers history is defined by losing the big game. So you know what's actually going to be characteristic of them? Forcing a game seven and losing.
Sixer
thing is they actually show something, but they run out of gas because it's every other day up until game seven.
1,000%. That would be the most Sixer thing. And that's my fear. And like, I'm not saying I wouldn't be thrilled, but like, I'm not trying to put that heartache, that stress of the next 5 days.
I don't want that evil on us either, Ricky Bobby. I agree with you. I think they wrap it up tonight. I also agree with you. It's a 4-point margin for the series. This is not as shook as we saw the Cavs were last year. I'm very confident in my basketball team tonight, though.
Cavs were not a threat in games 3 and 4 of last year, you know?
They were a threat in game 4. Okay. The game was nearly tied going into the fourth quarter.
No, you're right. You're right. You're right. You're right. My short memory.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.